next presenter is Penny Killen. Penny Killen.
That's good. That's right.
She is an assistant professor at Drexel University in College of Nursing and Health Professions. She has a master's degree in Holy Cross Nursing from Drexel University and a post-master's certificate as psychiatric nurse practitioner from Cunningham University. Penny has been involved in teaching and practicing Holy Cross Nursing, community outreach to undocumented immigrants and refugees. She has supported increased understanding and individual and group activism of social justice initiatives in the United States and abroad. She has been teaching the Global Health and Policy Issues course for the last 6 years and has worked with hundreds of students who focus on increasing their understanding of global health problems, policy implications, and effects of international health concerns on nursing care and abroad. Penny has long been a champion of increased awareness and global health education within the nursing education for all levels of nursing. And her topic today will be on increasing sensitivity and understanding of global health nursing issues among nurse RNPs and students, and the linking interests and practice in general to generate change. Please.
I too would like to thank you for being here and for attending this session. I think the kind of information we've had has been really so important, and it really does all connect to making us better nurses, I believe. So the objectives for this are to identify three ways that participating in an international global health undergraduate nursing course could enhance nursing practice, as well as discuss the value of adding a course like this into the undergraduate baccalaureate curriculum. I too have nothing that I need to disclaim. Oops. So what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the rationale for having a course like this. As we all know, we have an increasingly diverse population within the United States, with many people moving here or migrating to other countries and maybe then coming here. But the interface of our nurses in either hospitals or in communities are increasingly faced with people who have come here to our country, and we have very little understanding and knowledge about them. The global health concerns throughout the world impact our healthcare professionals here and our communities, and it's another reason why we need to be much more aware. We need to expand the role of the academic institutions educating nurses and other health professionals to prepare for this expanded role in a very, very diverse community. And we need to also challenge the ethnocentric views related to culture, health, and quality of life. And that's especially true for health providers in the United States, because we tend to view health very much through a Western lens. And through that lens, we often exclude many of the understanding and beliefs of people throughout our country who have come here from other countries, and it makes it really very difficult for us to work with them. There is, for healthcare practitioners, nurses, there's an integration of diversity and cultural competence in academic study, workplace, and communities, and there's a lot of lip service given to that. It's almost like an add-on to people, whether they're in an institution or whether we're taking courses. And the kind of things that we've talked about here are the kind of experiences and information that become increasingly important to help practitioners respond more authentically and holistically in their practices. And there's really a very strong need for diverse care that is culturally sensitive and competent to be done not only locally but nationally and globally. Clearly, we're not the only country where immigrants from other countries are coming. coming, or refugees. And so this idea of being aware and culturally informed becomes a broader issue than just the United States. The group that I'm really I'm talking about with this presentation are the RN to BSN students who are coming back to school for their degrees. And the reason I'm kind of highlighting this group is because I think they're a really very special group. They're people who range from out of an associate or diploma program a couple of years to the majority who have been in nursing between 10 to 15 to 20 years and are coming back for their degree. So the life experience and RN experience that they bring is really very unique and really very challenging. These are women and men who are working, who have established families, and who almost have a varied idealism. They've been out there in the workforce, they struggle with what they wish that they could do and often can't do, and they're looking for opportunities to reconnect with that piece that is so important to them, and often why they came into nursing. So they sort of back into this course, which is a global health and policy issues course, because it's an elective in the RN to BSN program, as well as a bridge program for those people who are going on to master's programs or midwife practitioner programs from the family. From family planning, there's kind of a segue where they come in to get accreditation. So it's a very interesting mix of people who are involved in this course. The course is designed to really help people better understand some of the global health and policy issues that are currently happening, to understand how policy affects and informs decisions that are made not just here but abroad, to look at an issue with some depth. So it's not just I'm gonna look at a country in Africa and I'm gonna see what their culture is and their cultural patterns. While it's about culture, it's really not focused on culture. It's really focused on those health issues. We also look at things like the healthcare systems in other parts of the world, as well as the role of the World Health Organization, the UN, and other non-governmental organizations. Along with that, there's also a look at and focus on the economics and how that plays into the quality of life and illness and wellness in other countries, as well as the World Bank and some of the economic summits. Again, another piece is the look at nursing practice or healthcare practices in other countries. So it's a very, it's a course that has a lot of dimensions, and it's constructed in a way that strongly supports self-directed learning and reflection. The self-directed learning part is that students have to spend between 30 and 40 hours investigating and researching an area in global health or global health policy that is of interest to them. Now, oftentimes people come in and they kind of say, well, listen, I'm really interested in AIDS in Africa. And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's a nice beginning, but we can't stop there. That's really much too broad. And over the course of several weeks, along with their content study, we have a wonderful book that we use that brings in a lot of history and social activism and perspective. Over the course of several weeks, exploring some of these different issues in all of these areas, they begin to find an area that they really become interested in. And it's really very quite diverse. So I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. And while they're doing all this, they're also keeping a reflective journal. So the journal serves as a way of identifying what their feelings are about what they're reading and researching, and the fact that they're well. So what kind of things have students focused on? They focused on end-of-life care in some other countries. They focused on the migration of health professionals and what that means, on healthcare systems in different countries, comparing them and contrasting them, and seeing what effect the system has on the health and wellness. So certainly what Louisa shared was really very important, as well as the trip to Eastern Europe. So that kind of information becomes very valuable. And you'd be amazed at the wealth of opportunity that there is for hearing and seeing videos or webcams on the web as they do their research. And so they get really very rich pieces of information. They also look at tobacco use. Now in this country, that's almost like, why bother? But it really raises their interest and awareness to find out that China has an incredible problem with smoking and some of the reasons why they do. Not just that they produce their own cigarettes and it helps support the economy, but that there is no attention paid to the health effects, and that huge numbers of Chinese people smoke. So there's the tobacco use. One of the things that really surprised me is a student said, well, I really am interested in burns. And I thought, oh, God, burns? How does that fit into global health? I mean, in all the things that we have, how big of an issue can that be? And as she went through and did her research, it was incredible the information that she found. And so in the execution of the course over a period of 10 weeks, everybody is learning, and I'll talk a little bit more about the burns. There's also issues about trauma. We had an ER nurse who said, I really want to know about trauma. How is that handled in England and in maybe European countries? And again, the information was startling that she found, and it challenged her in ways that she was quite surprised about. Of course, there's issues of women's health and malnutrition on the part of children and others. Violence in terms of war, as well as domestic violence and violence in general, looking at those kinds of things. There's the economic influence. Somebody felt that they wanted to have a better understanding of what the World Bank did and how that affected health. And of course, again, there's also nursing practice. How are nurses working with this particular issue in a country, and how are they making a difference? One of the things that becomes really important with the student focus is that it isn't just about a deeper understanding of these particular issues in a particular section of a particular country, but it's also about how does that information reflect, how can that information reflect on nursing practice here in the United States? And again, when we move a little bit further, I'd like to share a story about that with you. So, student stories. Students have lots of stories. Some of the stories have to do about the course itself, thinking that what they were going to do was a cultural sensitivity review of a nation and kind of come up with some data, to having difficulty reading the stories and looking at the information and the films because they were so disturbing, and forcing themselves to stay connected because it was so hard to realize some of the very significant issues that are happening worldwide, and being forced to look at those issues and compare to their own lives, and those were really pretty heavy-duty stuff. Also, the student story that I'd like to share is a woman who, a nurse who was from, I'm not sure if it was New Hampshire or Vermont, who worked in obstetrics. And she was at a relatively small community hospital that had a fairly large Somalian refugee group. And one of the things that became clear over the time of the course is that she was interested in female genital mutilation and other healthcare practices, and that she wasn't alone. There was also an OB doctor there who was interested in doing something around this issue, but wasn't really clear about what could be done. And so in the course of this study, she felt that what she needed to do was better understand about what this is and why it's happening, and how to connect and interface with the community of community groups, and how can she help her colleagues within the hospital better understand this population, and how could she put something in place that would really ease the journey for many of the young women who were coming in who didn't have prenatal care and may have FGM. So it was quite startling for her that it took her on a journey from just taking the course to doing some significant life changes, work changes, practices within her hospital. So among the other things that happened for students is they had an increased familiarity with local, global, and international groups and agencies, because that's part of what they did. They had to do a visit either to the Holocaust Museum in Washington or something similar in an area where they are, or a trip to the United Nations or an international organization. Most people were able to do the Holocaust Museum if they were outside of our area, in an area where they lived, or to the United Nations. And both of those trips, as trite as it sounds, were life-transforming for some of the students. There were also the ongoing discussions with colleagues who've been abroad or who are doing international relief. And so there was this networking piece that came about that where there's the shared information and communication between people who were already going over on a regular basis, or perhaps it was a resident or a physician who was from a different country, and they had the opportunity to try and better understand what that experience was like. There was also an activism part where they were involved in writing to political leaders within our country on very particular issues that had international health initiative aspects. They also increased their awareness of how individuals can be involved wherever they work or live. And while certainly the immersion piece, in my mind, is a wonderful, wonderful way to connect with better understanding different groups of people, I think this is another doorway in, and we need as many doorways as we can to get people involved and to help them appreciate how lucky we are here and what we need to do to make the world a better place. So greater attention also to the issues that occur in groups and individuals outside of their world, and to look for opportunities to reach out, teach, and involve others in this increased awareness. And that was some of the things, the comments they made. We had the best discussions at our dinner table about the G5 and the G8, and my husband was so blown away that I knew about those things. And this course has not only opened my eyes, but it's increased the dialogue with my children, and so hopefully, together we will work to become better global citizens, were some of the kinds of things that they shared. So one of the things that I'd like to kind of leave you with is that it's important for us to exert talents and distinguish ourselves, and don't think of retiring from the world until the world will be sorry that you are retiring from it. And I'm saying that because I'm retiring age and I keep thinking about it, and I have to keep reminding myself that really each and every one of us has the capacity to make a difference. Whether somebody recognizes it or not doesn't matter. It's the idea of being there and doing what we need to do. And I was going to read you some comments from students, but I'm not going to do that, and I'm just going to say thank you very much for your attention.
Okay. My question for Larson. I would love to share the syllabus that I use with anybody here, and my handout is in the back, my email. You know, it takes a while to develop a syllabus, and even a longer time to put it through the university system. So it took a year to develop a syllabus that, you know, was really good. I think it's really good. Listen, bias. But I would send it to anybody right now, and you could put your name on it and tweak it however it was is good for you. We work with our study abroad program, and every university has a study abroad program. I mean, every university, I think, has a study abroad program. So I would work with them. Some are more workable than others. I've learned in North Carolina that we've got one that loves to do anything. You know, there are other universities that are like, we're only going to do 4 months in X in, you know, in Europe, for example. Not many people like to go to Central America. It's a hardship, they say. But anyway, so yes, I want to share. So if you want my card or take that little handout and email me,
okay,
send it to you. We gear it toward undergraduates primarily because I feel like they need more of a shorter time because they have so many other things going on. So it's, you know, 2 to 3 weeks is not very long. We have a lot of hand-holding to do. It's not, because some have never flown. We all know some undergraduate students have never been on an airplane, don't have a passport. So it's more structured, and so we don't leave them. They don't go off on their own. A experience for a graduate student would be much more independent, but could do this, but I would think a graduate student would be much more independent.
A lot of communities, a lot of universities are saying, what are we getting out of it? Like, what are the benefits or partnerships for us? So my question is, one, is your university doing a sister site, or are you having an exchange program? So after you're there for 2 to 3 weeks, do you then have individuals from Guatemala, the University of Guatemala, coming to your university to do some sort of exchange program? That's
Thanks.
My first question. And then my second question is, if I understand correctly, this was the cultural competency course. So my question is, what are the students actually learning and then applying to their nursing degree programs afterwards, other than having an exchange program that was nursing-based?
Okay. So the first part was, who benefits from this, right? Kind of. I tried to convey that we are doing this every year, and so we go back to the same villages. We are developing a relationship with them. The host organization is our host organization each time. So we have an ongoing, it's only the second year. It'll be the third this coming year. But we're already going down there. So communities, I guess, how do communities benefit? They have invited us to do, for example, I just mentioned the painting of the school. That was a small project, but a benefit to them. And it's not that the students, I think benefit more than the communities. I will not be dishonest about that. I think that they bring back much more, they gain much more, but in the long run for the North Carolina Latinos, they'll be giving more to the North Carolina Latinos, understanding their traditions and their healthcare system and their language. So I think the major benefit, and Guatemalans knew that their families were here and that nursing students were learning about their culture so that they could give a better care to their family members who were here. By here, I mean North Carolina. So it was an understanding that there was that their family members were being helped in the long run. Does that answer the first part? The second part, and maybe not to your satisfaction, but
I'm sort of wondering.
The second part was, what do they do? Okay. Language, and they understand their culture and they appreciate, they're less biased. Boy, getting through that, you know, they understand immigration and they didn't ever before. Or, well, let's say they understood it in one way, but it's now a much more humanitarian way that they understand. Yes. Yeah.
And there's something that we don't understand completely when we're going with the intent to do good, but not understanding that in the long run, if we're leaving someone with a little carrot, but not that the population's not able to sustain what we initiated, we're in the long run not helping that population. We're frustrating them. So that understanding is so important. I'm so grateful that you brought that up. On the other hand, I want to know if you were hooking up at all with Sigma Theta Tau or the International Council on Nursing, who all have the collaborative processes in place, and it's just beginning, so that we can avoid leaving people without something else when we leave.
Yeah.
So that process of you finished your component, now someone else is going to take over, because it's all being coordinated.
Yeah, I've been in touch with Sigma. I should also say that we make connections with the School of Nursing in Guatemala City, and we do have that started an exchange program. And unfortunately, here's the bad news. I didn't know this, but all Sigma, I'm a member. All Sigma materials are in English only. I was so surprised. Because we were gonna have a sister chapter with the Guatemalan School of Nursing, and everybody was gonna, have a sort of a member partner. And when I found out that they didn't have anything in Spanish, which is the second widest spoken language in the world, right after Mandarin, I told them, I was just devastated, and they agreed. I mean, I talked to everybody in Indianapolis. They agreed this is not where they ought to be, but they're not planning. They said I could translate their membership materials.
And
I didn't
have
time.
That's really a problem.
Yes, ma'am.
It's
great.
Us through X, Y, and Z people got to us, showing us that their community of health
Have you written your experiences up in a journal? Okay. I really need you guys to start publishing and getting this to me. Yeah, I know, me too. Mm. Sloan, my dear friend, yes.
Exactly.
And a small change, and an observation, I think, is why we push global health to the side sometimes, because it is so enormous. And how do we tackle HIV and social care? And how do we do these things?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the key piece of that experience is even that small change that we make. And you know, even beyond that, what's taken from students. But making that change in that country is also so key. I just wanted to add the other piece of it.
And I'd just like to add to that that students who begin that process hold on to it and they continue. And one of the things that I'm really hoping that we can do is build a cohort of people who to help them sustain that interest. It was interesting to me because one of the students said, "Oh, professor, I took out a vaccine on the World Health Organization vaccine group in your name, you know, kind of donating money for somebody to have a vaccine." So, I mean, that's a very little inconsequential kind of a thing. But
everything
you know
matters.
What? It starts.
Yeah, everything matters. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And the curanderos that we talked to, I mean, and that we actually, you know, some people were feeling bad and that went to in Guatemala while we were there, was a profound experience, and they brought that back and see the value of natural healers. Yeah. Sloan? Thank you for coming.
I have to keep this. We have to.